Blog Talk Radio. Conversions, And we got a really bad habit that is killing our ability to get people to go out and vote. And that is the fact that we like to talk to each other about everything. And there's a level of cognitive dissonance that's taking place in progressive spaces that I don't think they're getting that that's why people don't want to vote. Because it's like if you go to a church for the first time and the pastor's preaching a sermon and he got his back to the congregation. He's talking to the choir. You ain't going to want to go back to that church no more. You ain't going to want to hear. You ain't giving no tithe, no offering, no nothing. You ain't going back to that church because he didn't even preach to me. And we got that going on right now in 2018 here post-primary elections. We got folks preaching to the choir. And not just the DPG preaching to the choir or our revolution preaching to the choir or the resistance preaching to the choir. Candidates are preaching to the choir. And they're forgetting the voter. And we need to be very careful because if we don't, people are not going to vote. We're going to find ourselves in a 2016 situation that actually could be worse because right now we see 45 still hadn't trickled down enough that he's affecting our daily, everyday lives just yet.
Now, you know, I'm going to disagree with you on this, right? Not because I'm trying to be petty,
but
I'm going to disagree with you on all this, but do go on.
But if we fuck up and let this shit happen here in Georgia, if you live here, regardless of what county you live in, what city, district, whatever, we mess up and have a 2016 on a Georgia local scale, it's going to hurt us. And we need to be working very hard to go out and make sure that our voters understand that there is a reason to vote. There is a reason to vote. Even if you don't do nothing but go in there and put in a protest vote for something, it's there. There's a reason to vote. But we got to call them. Hold on.
Already?
Yes, it's Monday night. You got to call.
Oh, okay. Well, hello.
Let's get this call off. Hello, caller. How are you doing? Caller?
Okay.
Are you there?
Took too long.
I'm going to put you on hold, caller. So I guess you're just listening. That number looks familiar, too. Hold on. Let me check my log.
I'm going to weigh in. Oh, Lord, it's somebody we know. Well, I kind of disagree. I think we do need to talk to the choir. We need to have multiple conversations. This is not an either-or kind of thing. We do need to talk to the choir because some in the choir don't know the basics that need to be done. I'm the organization that I work for does voter registration and also civic education. There were a lot of people in this cycle who didn't even know we had a primary election. They didn't know the date. They didn't know where to go. We got to go back to basics, and we have got to stop. You know, you and I know through campaigns, we go for the lowest hanging fruit to make that number. Okay, we got a win number to meet. We go through all of these, looking through districts to get those numbers together. Who do we write off? The low performing districts.
Right.
So you cannot write off certain people and then come back and tell them, well, you need to vote. You got to tell them why and why it matters. You know,
right.
That is the perfect argument for those who say, well, you know, my neighborhood is suffering from these resources. How do you think those resources get to your neighborhood? If you don't vote,
right,
particularly
right.
Now that we have the census coming up in 2020, which is going to be a hot mess, then going to try and count certain communities because they want to keep that pot of money for their own. So if
right.
you don't vote.
Well, you really believe it or not, you're agreeing with me.
I don't know, because you're a little extra, I'm a little extra.
Because what I'm talking about, and I figured out who our guest is, and I'm gonna bring them back on right quick, see if they're gonna
keep
up.
Who is it? Put them on blast.
I'm only trying to listen. Don't do that. I'm only listening. I have passengers in my vehicle. Don't try to call me out. I'm just trying to listen to Down South and Dirty.
We're going to put you back on hold, and if you decide you want to speak up, if you could just have somebody shoot us a little message in our inboxes, and we'll just bring you right on in now.
I got something for you tomorrow. Bye. Okay.
Okay. Now,
that's a good way to do it.
You don't have to call in to listen. You can go to Blog Talk Radio.
Actually, if you're in your car and you want to listen, that's probably the best way to do it. Because you don't want to fiddle around with your apps, this, that, and the other. You can call on the show. You can listen to it on your Bluetooth and through your speakers. And that's probably one of the best ways to do it if you're in a spot that you can't fiddle with the internet directly. So that is one of the ways. But be understanding, if you do it that way, you may end up on the show. Because if I do... I might call you out and say, hey, what you want to talk about? But that number looked familiar to me. I know it did. But back to the show. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's what I'm getting to, because, see, we like to, when I'm talking about preacher choir, I'm talking about the political class and the folks that think they know what's going on. Those are the folks. So you got to think about it. When we start talking about reaching out to voters, we talk about these people called super voters.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first list everybody want to pull. They want to pull the super voter. That super voter is that person who pulls the ballot each and every time, every election. We about understand how they vote. We know they're going to vote. And they're the first people we pull on their list. We the folks that we talk to the most. It's the church. They're the members of the church.
Or civic organizations. We have a lot of groups in Atlanta like that, you know, homeowners associations and neighborhood groups who are really good about civic education and reminders. But outside of that, then we got everybody else.
We don't talk to folks. We don't talk to folks. So then we have this whole issue of we form these, what I call, self-partisan echo chambers. Because when you start talking about homeowner association, what is that song, homeowner association? What is probably their main issue? Something that is going to affect their HOA. They're going to be looking at economic development, property values, this type of thing, because that's their reason for existing. If we start talking to other civic organizations, whatever that civic organization was formed, whatever issue it was tasked to tackle, that is their main issue. When we look at nonprofits, they're formed to tackle a certain issue. That's what they're looking at. And we form these sub-partisan echo chambers. All of us are supposed to be leftists. But we want to talk about what we want to talk about. I'm going to tell you one group that kind of irks me, that...
Mm-hmm.
People are gonna be surprised to irk me, and it ain't that I'm against what they are for, but I find that sometimes in certain instances that when they speak up, I find it offensive because they are talking about something that really I don't know how it fits into some of my conversation. That's animal rights activists. I mean, I've had animal rights activists jump into Black Lives Matter conversations talking about pit bulls. And I go, why are you here talking about a dog?
Wait. No, what they're trying to do, they're trying to build, right? They're trying to do what organizers we train people to do, the organize. They're trying to build, but they're doing it the wrong way because they're coming in not to build but to dictate. You can't help me if you don't listen to me. If you don't know what my issues are, you can come up with all the messaging you want. You can come up with all the targeting you want. If you're not talking to me and talking and catching my attention and saying, oh, you're speaking my language, then, yeah, you're going to have to kick rock. But everybody does it every single cycle. And we're all running around the corner like, how do we message to this person? How do we message to that person? Just fucking talk to them like people.
Right. And so you end up in the And so when you have a group come in, and I'm like I said, I'm just using them as an example. You have that group come in and talking to you, and like you said, they're trying to do that. But they're coming from a singular issue, and when you and then they get upset when you don't seem like you're catching on to supporting their issue because guess what? You didn't come in and tell me how it's affecting what I'm talking about. If I'm talking about Black Lives Matter, and I'm talking about police brutality, and mass incarceration, explain to me how me loving the animals and protecting the animals are going to deal with that situation. Explain to me. And if there is a reason how intersectionality exists, then let's come there. But if you never tell me where we come to a point of intersectionality, then why are you even talking to me? And it becomes the echo chamber because they're basically talking to be heard, not to be understood. And we need to break some bubbles.
But people like the bubble, Scout. It's warm. It's comfortable. We have friends. They have vodka
and cookies. Right. Well, who said this game was comfortable, though? That's the point. It's not comfortable. It was never meant to be comfortable.
Exactly.
To bring change means that we're supposed to be getting outside of our comfort zones, pushing the envelope, being innovative. All that stuff has nothing to do with comfort until you establish a place other than where you at that you can build something on, then you can provide comfort. But there ain't no comfort on the Oregon Trail. There ain't no comfort on the Trail of Tears. There ain't no comfort in the Middle Passage. There ain't no comfort.
Right.
You know, so there was no comfort in Jamestown. There ain't no comfort at the gateway. There was no comfort at Wounded Knee. There was no comfort. So we got to get past that because I really believe that the right has no problem with being uncomfortable. I don't think they have a problem with being uncomfortable at all. We want to ride in a Cadillac all the way through change.
You know, the DLT, they know how to get information. They see the big picture easily. We on the left tend to lean more towards anarchy in our political dealings, and it becomes very difficult for times, you know, that so-called unity thing. It is very hard to get that done because of the nature of the left. The right seems to understand we got a job to do, we have a common goal, we have a mission. Let's do it even if it's uncomfortable for some of us. This is how we got Trump.
Because he's very uncomfortable, people. He makes everybody uncomfortable.
Well,
he's even uncomfortable. He's not comfortable.
Well, I guess he thought this job was going to be a little bit easier.
He thought we were just going to love him.
Don't even get me to try and think what goes on in that man's mind. The minute I know what's going on in his mind, then I know I've completely lost it. But I know one thing, whatever's on his mind, it's nothing nice for black people and people of color. So none of his agenda has anything to do with us, anything good. That's all I need to know. I just happen to be from New York, and the Trump name is not very well loved in New York. You didn't even win your own state.
They always say when the folks at home don't like it. But we sit up there, you know, like I said, you said everybody wants to try to be comfortable, this, that, other. There's a lot of hard work to be done. And what amazes me is that people put in the most work to do negative things. And that is really just causing my mind to go like, you know that little commercial where you get the little, they brain explode and a little pink smoke come out their ears? I go through that on a daily basis, like poof, like my brain is like poof, and it's glitter and all of that all good stuff pops up. It's just it's crazy. I mean,
yeah, I believe I'm not in that box. I refuse to drive myself crazy this cycle, so I just see things. I say a lot of wows and whatevers. Wow.
Yeah, I do. Like, whatever. Wow, you did. Because
wow.
We're talking about voting, okay? And
we're talking about echo chambers.
And how we get people to go out and vote, and the echo chambers that are preventing that from happening. I mean, there's an echo chamber that is attempting to form. And
we need
to talk
attempting to form.
But this
is
this
already
particular, yes, it has. And some people are thinking that this thing is not going to get any traction. But I'm worried. When we start telling people, you know, we all understand in the African American community that our vote is taken for granted sometimes. Hell, it ain't even sometimes. It's taken for granted all the damn time. Excuse my language.
Well,
we're
used, abused, misused, exploited, taken advantage of. I mean, look, I'm a black woman. We're supposed to be the belle of the ball. And only one out of all the black women who are running in this circle, the DCCC, only endorsed one in the Congressional Black Caucus, decided to endorse not the black woman in the race, but a white man. So that black girl magic, we're not seeing it and feeling it. And if we're going to be dependent on, I mean, this is a new day. We need to know what's in it for us. And if you won't do anything for us, we are going to do it for ourselves. And that may not be the same goal or interest that you have.
So let me ask you a question then.
Okay.
Would you be willing to promote withholding the vote? Not voting at all come November.
Two reasons.
Okay.
First one, I didn't go through all that crap with the Secretary of State in Fulton County, Georgia, for people to not vote, okay? That was a lot of BS that myself, and y'all should really pray for the good folks at the ACLU of Georgia because I was their client. So you know, they need a medal just for that. But, you know, the work that went into it, I mean, not just my suit, but, I mean, I don't think people understand. There have been multiple suits against these people. There are people who are fighting to keep you to have that right to vote. Go write in your own name. That's what I did on some of the judicial races. I didn't know this judge from that one. And if they didn't have a challenger in, if they were an incumbent with nobody running against them, hell, I wrote my own name in. I don't know you, but I know me. So, I mean, do a protest vote, but do not waste it because it is offensive to me. It is offensive, particularly if you're a person of color. You can use your vote strategically, but by not voting, you are abdicating everything and you are allowing an opportunity. If you won't vote, somebody else will, and they may not vote in your best interest. So go vote. Write in something ridiculous. If you have to. I mean, write in now. But at least use that right that so many have fought and died for. And I know people are like, you know, my neighborhood this, my neighborhood that. Well, that's exactly why your neighborhood is never going to change. And that is one of the biggest conversations that I have. I live in Capitol View, which is a neighborhood in Metro Atlanta. It is a rapidly gentrifying neighborhood. Things are changing. And, you know, the people who are moving in, white or black, they are more engaged civically than the residents that were here. And it's building resentment. Well, this group is getting this, this group is getting that, because they're going for this. And we've been trying to get you to go for yours. Now this, the summer's starting to get it. But it's really, really, that is one of the most difficult conversations to have, is for those who, why they can't vote. And while we're talking about voting, let's not forget that because of voter suppression laws, because of things of felon disenfranchisement, you know, there's the assumption that people are just not voting because they don't want to vote. We keep forgetting we are leaving a lot of people votes on the table because there are people we can't, who can't vote. And we can't fix it in the 3 weeks before an election or 6 weeks before an election. It has to be done 24/7, 365. We got people who can vote who don't know they can. Then you got people who can't vote who want to. And we're still telling people, you need to go vote. We need to start directing our attention to that particular segment who can't vote, because it is bigger than we think and it crosses racial lines. We got white people on meth and this opioid crisis, okay? They're getting caught up too. And the reason we're starting to see some movement on criminal justice reform is because you got affluent white kids getting caught up. Now, if that's a boat that I can put my people on and swim on, yeah, I'm going to take it. But you got to get out there and vote and get engaged. And it is so frustrating to say this year after year after year and have to tell the, you know, organizations the same thing. We can scrape all we want. There are some numbers right there that would go up exponentially if we deal with felon disenfranchising, because it's a beast.
So would you say that it's a good idea for even the party or even some candidates to start, like, actually trying to figure out the felons in their community and getting them back on the voter rolls?
I mean, we've had some expungement events up here in the Metro Atlanta area, but we need to do them on a regular. You know, we need to be doing them now. And a good way to find out if you can register to vote, go renew your ID. Because of the Help America Vote Act, motor voter, if you renew your ID, you get registered to vote. Boom. Go get a free ID. There are organizations out there. The ACLU have the program Spread the Vote. There's also Vote Riders. Both of them will help you with resources to get your ID. Get your ID and you register to vote. Boom. The state can't do anything about it. And if they tell you you can't register to vote, ask them why. But if you are a returning citizen or a.k.a. an ex-felon, if you have paid your fine, you are not on probation, you don't owe any money, you can register to vote.
And you no longer on parole.
Georgia is not a state that that restores your rights automatically upon release from custody, but at least you have to reapply for your right to vote. That's the only thing we do.
So there ain't any paperwork that got to be done. As long as you don't feel, as long as the rest of that stuff done, all you got to do is re-register.
But if you don't want to re-register, go get your ID. And if you're getting out of jail, the first thing you're going to need is an ID, because all you got is that prison ID and nobody takes that. Go get your ID. You're registered to vote. Follow up on it. And if you're registered to vote, take your behind to the polls and go vote. Vote early. There's no excuse. You can vote early, you can vote Saturday, you can vote Sunday. The best way to go is to vote early and vote by absentee by mail, people. Come on now.
So we sitting up there, so you mean to tell me I got candidates who've been out here whining and crying about the vote, and they've been leaving votes on the table because all they've been doing is chasing super voters.
Mm-hmm. Could be. Or it could be, here's the thing, some of them may have lost because they just didn't have a
fealty. If I was a returning citizen, and I like that better than ex-con or felon. I like that, returning citizen. We're gonna coin that phrase. We're gonna push that phrase, returning citizen. Okay, if I was a returning citizen, and a candidate or a party helped me get the franchise, the vote, and was able to show me, I would be more apt to vote for you than I would to anybody else, because you actually came and helped me restore my life. So you already did something for me to make my life better. You helped me regain my voice. So, instead of telling people
about the But look at the Civil Rights Act. That got passed because somebody went out and said, you know what? Let's register poor people. They went and got those voters that nobody else gave a damn about. So, I mean, and we see it all the time. Everybody goes, you know, we got to pick these numbers up. And that's why I kind of enjoy the work that I'm with and, you know, the organization that I'm with. They're building 24/7, 365, and they're going after those. They're having those hard conversations with those voters that are traditionally difficult to reach or who have been written off. And it's not being done by waiting till right before the election and beating people over the head. You got to go vote, and then people go, why? And we go, well, you just got to go vote. That is no longer sufficient because there are very hard questions coming out of people that need to be answered. But here's the point. Some of those, you know, I'm frustrated because some of these questions, I'm not running for office. New Georgia Project is not running for office. It is up to the party and the candidates to make these arguments and to answer these questions. And if they're not, there's only so much we can do as nonprofits, as advocates, as organizers, as citizens, you know, who are just concerned and passionate. There's only so much we can do. And when we see things where you have a party working against their own, when you see, you know, everybody biting each other on the back just to get that money, you know, and nobody gives a damn, you know, people don't show up in communities until it's election time. That is duly noted by the block. And there are pockets where there's apathy, there's anger, there's confusion. They don't know who's with who. And so then we got to go out there and talk to these people and explain to them why it's in their best interest. And, you know, at one point I was getting really frustrated because people like, you know, especially during 2016 cycle, oh, Stacey, we got to go out here and get them to go vote. For who? How could I do that without, you know, me getting physically ill? Because it was very difficult. All that mess that went on in 2016, for who? I didn't do that, though. And what was really disturbing is that people like me, we were told, well, the election was lost because of you. When did this become my shit? You're the ones running the election. I had options to tell people, and the people said, nah, we tried to tell y'all that, but you went ahead with it anyway. Then all of a sudden, it's our fault. So there's a lot of moving parts to this, but, you know, getting out to vote, that's a really, really difficult thing to do when we are not all in formation. We are all not of a common goal. And as you know, we've got the sub-echo chambers, everybody doing their own thing.
Right. And that, you know, that's the thing, because that's even as a part of, you know, you can claim that some of these sub-partisan echo chambers are issue-based silos. But some of them are also what we have classism that's taking place inside the party. We have
racism, colorism, sexism. You got all the isms.
We got all kinds of isms that are taking place in these subpartisan echo chambers that people keep, you know, going, hey, I believe this, and then we fighting each other for resources and for dominance on the battlefield. And because you have, it's gonna got so bad that we are not just attacking the right, but we're attacking each other. And so then you get the average voter who is watching. They're watching. Even the little nuanced stuff that we do in the mass media, they're watching. They're watching social media. They're watching. This is how the Russians were able to get us people, was through these subpartisan echo chambers. Because all they did was amplify the echo. And you know when you amplify echo and that sound cannot get, the microphone is too close to the speaker, you get that feedback loop and it starts.
Yeah.
That's what the Russians did to us in 2016. And so now we're doing it to ourselves because the Russians are like, oh, they self-destruction. You know, I wish I had that song queued up. The head of
self-destruction.
Yeah, I wish I had that song queued up because, I mean, that's what we're going for right now.
Well, who's doing the destruction? Because we're all out. Wait a minute. But who's doing the self-destruction? Who is the culprit in this? Because we got good people out here, activists, organizers, some grassroots. And yet there are a handful. I know I have dragged some nonprofits in the past. For the most part, they're problematic, some of them. Okay.
Right.
However, there are some very good ones who are doing the work. And the ones you don't hear about all the time, those are usually the ones that are out there doing that work, right? So
right.
Who is the culprit in this? Because it's not us.
But see, the thing is that we got some people, and some of the good organizations, like for instance, and I love this particular group. They're doing a lot of good work, but mm-hmm. at the same time, they can be a little basic, and people have complained mm-hmm. about it. That's our revolution, mm-hmm. and I'm not hating on. I'm not hating on our revolution, but
yeah, because
you pick
send all picking, the hateful emails to him.
You know, yeah, send it to me, and this is tough love. This is not hate. And see, that's another thing. People cannot take criticism when it comes. But I'm giving this to y'all because I want you to understand. Some of the stuff you're doing is great work, but it needs to spread. And if you know that if you don't have a presence somewhere, talk to somebody. Because there are people who are just not Georgia's a big state. You just can't concentrate on your cities because some of your power packs in the state come out of some really small places. Like, our revolution could do wonders in Brooks County, Georgia.
Okay.
You could do wonders in West Georgia because once you got people already there who are already capable of doing the work, but they need some outside resources and some training and this, that, and the other, some amplification. They need more than anything, they need the amplification of the work they're already mm-hmm. doing and an organization like our revolution. And these people match up, ideologically match up. It can amplify that area, help flip some seats, some state house seats, and right now state house seats are probably the most important things we can flip. They're probably the most important things we can flip is state house seats. But everybody likes the sex. But the reason I'm making this comment is
wait. But there's the presumption that organizations come ready, you know, plug and play, right? So our revolution came about after 2016. It takes a while to build. And it also takes strong leadership, and it takes training. Now, they have gone through some growth spurts, and full disclosure, I will be helping to start, not stay, with Our Revolution Fulton, because I got enough on my plate, but I'm tired of hearing it, and I'm tired of seeing it. I saw the lack of presence in Fulton, which hurt some races. I think some races could have done better had they had an actual Fulton County, but people tend to try to make organizations bigger than what they were, or they go into mission creep. Our Revolution is an electoral organization.
Wow.
Which means all of them. But who's right? So we've got nobody who taught them. However, there are members, and there it depends on which group you're talking about. There are those who have that experience who aren't waiting for national. This is what frustrates me. Everybody goes, well, we wait for somebody to get it. You better get it how you live.
That's what I'm saying. You know, you try to put two groups together, and it's like, okay, certain groups seem to pop up in certain areas. You wonder, well, how did that pop up then? That didn't pop up here. And, you try to connect them, and it's like, well, I don't know anybody else. Well, here's a contact number. Call them, talk to them, see what y'all can get done. And nobody never talks. Now, I'm going to pull off of Our Revolution because I'm going to hit somebody else. Because that's just one of the things, because it's with the connection. I mean, I know that they were very, very instrumental in doing some things in Gwinnett and whatnot. And that group seems to be very, very diligent about taking care of what's going on out there. And a lot of this, but I understand there's a statewide committee for Our Revolution in Georgia. There's a statewide committee. So my thing is that I'm listening to I'm listening to rural counties and some even congressional districts saying, we have no representation for Our Revolution here. So I go back and say, hey, Our Revolution, you know you ain't got nobody in congressional district. Or you don't have a person in this area, and there are people that are interested.
And you know what I would tell you? Go find somebody and get them to start. That's how it works.
Right. And, yeah, and that's how I go back and I say, and that's the thing, you know, so again, people, but then some people don't understand because they've seen, so you got to be evangelical. You have to go out and do all, you have to do some mission trips. Because everybody doesn't understand exactly how to get started, because I mean, it ain't like they're not getting it. I'm not a member of Our Revolution, so therefore I'm like, okay, I'm telling you, I tell somebody I know, run up y'all flagpole, get somebody over here, because I'm not a member of your group. I can't really put y'all on my plate right now. But I'm an ally and I'm willing to help you where I need you to go. Because people are asking me that interested.
Well, the hit piece that came out in Politico, that was meant to kind of, trash. You know, you got Nina Turner who was in the crosshairs. You know, I'm sure folks in the DNC, if her behind was on fire, they wouldn't spit to put it out. And that's why I love her to death. But
I hadn't even thought of the political piece. The political hit piece on Our Revolution.
Yeah, Politico put out a hit piece on Our Revolution. I mean, they've had some people step down. Lucy Flores stepped down because, you know, there's been some issues about the Latino issues and their representation, you know. But there's growing pain, and I mean, we could say that about any organization if it is not Black or Latinx centered, and that's one thing that's very hard for us to understand. if it is not a black-centered group, yes, you will have to constantly push, pry, yell, scream to keep your issues on the table. So the choice is you can either spend your time screaming and hollering and trying to force an organization to go your way, or you can lead it, your own black or people of color-centered group, and you don't have to worry about that half. Now, I prefer option B. For those who prefer option A, that's fine. And I will raise my glass to you and raise you a Xanax, because you're going to need both. You're
going to
make yourself crazy.
This is because I'm glad you said that, because it leads into the next little group. And this group isn't necessarily formal, but we hear them. We hear about them a lot, and it's the so-called resistance. Now, everybody, revolution and the resistance are two different things. It's like being progressive and liberal. They're two different things. You can actually be a part of both, but there are distinct differences between the aims and goals. And as a statewide candidate said something to me a couple of days ago about this, and I'm gonna leave, you know, out of respect, I'm gonna leave their name out of this. But they asked me when, because if you follow my Facebook page, you can find out. But I'm just not gonna broadcast, because I know most of y'all are gonna be lazy, not gonna look. So I'm not going to help you. If you want to find out, go do your research. But they asked me, when are you going to go after the Lily White resistance? Now, this was a white candidate who told me. Yeah. Because the thing is that the resistance, because the resistance is really, to be honest with you, from a political standpoint, we're looking at it, is quite freaking useless. Because all they're doing. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to defend my words. Because the thing is, the resistance is only looking to maintain what we knew as the status quo. That's all the resistance has ever been looking to do. The resistance is mad because Trump didn't destroy, 45, I spoke his name. Oh, my God, say that two more times. He might show up. But 45 upset the status quo. The neoliberal dream of how things used to operate is in jeopardy. And that doesn't benefit people of color. The status quo does not benefit us. The things that the revolution talks about benefits us more than what the resistance is like, oh, my God, we got to stop 45. We have to stop him so we can go back to the way things used to be. No. Where things used to be, God is where we at today. Mm-hmm. Because we have people who think that they could cheat their way through an election. We have people who think that insurgency is a bad thing, and it's actually needed every once in a while to keep people in their toes. There needs to be somebody who's willing to come upset the apple cart. There needs to be folks that come through and want to flip up the tables in the temple. Okay? It got to happen. And when you resist it, you end up your heart, and we're seeing that with inside of the party. We're seeing that on the left, period. Now, what is going to happen from the party standpoint is that the party actually probably embraces the resistance a hell of a lot more than they embrace the revolution. Because, see, the resistance is just anti-Trump, anti-45. I'm going to say it a third time before the show is over when he's going to mysteriously appear like Candyman. I'm sorry. But think about it. We can have somebody on the left like Samantha Bee call Ivanka Trump a cunt, and we're perfectly okay with it. Well, we know that is a heinous term. If somebody on 45 side had called somebody on our side a cunt, They television show. Be careful.
Well, look, call me one. I'm coming for your life.
Thank you. And I don't care. We there's a hypocrisy that is taking place in the resistance, because if it's somebody in the resistance who does it to fortifies and his minions, it is perfectly okay. But if he does it to us, then all is villainy. But then you just did it. You just did it. And the hypocrisy is seen. And it just says, okay, y'all are liars, you thieves, you cheats. You ain't worth the baby. And we can see that thing has to change. All they want is the status quo where they feel like they have power again. And that cannot happen.
I see it a little bit different. I think the resistance is being led down the wrong path by those who are just seeking, you know, a quick fix. The resistance, the work that they're doing, it's limited. They should be doing lobbying. You know, I mean, they seem to be better suited to be doing congressional visits because, you know, doing congressional visits, I'm not going to take somebody who's spitting foam at the side of their mouth because we're going to sit across the table and try to find some sort of common ground and solution. I can't bring people who are coming up in it. They're just mad and, you know, calling people all outside their name. Because let's be honest, if you wanted something from me and you were going to call me all outside my name and then tell me I need to give you something, watch me stare at you and tell you to kick rocks. But they have the temperament that is better to do those type of activities. Right, as far as them being like in a rapid response action team, they could possibly do that working in coalition with them. But I think, well, if their goal is simply to resist Trump, I don't agree with it. I think we have deeper systemic problems than just Trump. But and there is part of a common goal because, yeah, short term, we don't want Trump either. We're more, you know, our issues, particularly those who are black or people of color, are more systemic and more entrenched and go further than Trump. But that does not mean we cannot work together if there is something coming up in the, you know,
right,
clear and present danger that Trump presents. But nobody wants to do that. No one knows how to work in coalition with anybody. No one knows how to do that.
We're echo chambers.
No,
that's why
Well, you have this other phenomenon. Everybody's out to go get that money. So
yep.
Trump is real
that's
easy. You know, right. The funders like to hear that. You know, what's that guy, Tom, the guy who wants to impeach Trump? If I were to go up to him with a proposal and say, look, I want to start this movement, you know, it's all to protest Trump, he'd probably make it rain. I'm a black woman, too. Oh, my God. You know, so what is it, Hayden, I think his name is? People like that, because they feel that everything was okay during the Obama years. Everything wasn't okay. And we were saying that, but we could not say that during the, if you said that during the Obama era, I mean, you were damn near attacked. So it's become difficult, and it's very hard. It will be hard for us to do this, but I cannot keep bringing this up. There was a time in Georgia where we saw the Tea Party, the NAACP, and the Sierra Club come together and successfully beat back some legislation.
Yep.
Now, all of those folks probably, after they left the room, they probably threw shade at each other and had some words for each other. That's how it works, though. You ain't got to love them. We ain't got to get married. We really don't have to sleep together.
It's nice if we can,
but what we need to learn how to do, you know, people like, well, I can't work with this one because they went and did their 6 degrees of separation. Because this person said this back in 1974, or they did this, you know, that's another thing. The echo chambers are unforgiving in terms of growth. The person I am today is certainly not the person I am in the 20s. If you had heard what some of the shit that came out of my mouth in the 20s, y'all would be like, yo. That's what life is all about.
Those echo chambers have set standards, right, that are actually very unforgiving because, again, a word that I use in our description is cognitive dissonance. And for those of y'all who don't understand what cognitive dissonance is, you know, you have an inability of changing. Your mind cannot be changed. We got to present you with clear and present fact. I can show you. It's you sitting there saying the sky's green, and everybody else is telling you it's blue. We done giving you everything to show you how the sky is blue. We done did experiments and giving you the same makeup of the atmosphere and then put water vapor in it and then produced a blue hue, and you still say no, it's green. It is green as grass. That's cognitive dissonance is me telling you my name is Scout, and you want to continuously call me Scott, even though I don't spell it out for you, pronounce it for you, had you read it. We don't went over this again, and you still say, well, that was a great lesson, Scott.
Well, okay, even better analogy, the flat earthers.
Oh, my God. We sitting you up in the lodge, you see the curvature, though, you still damn don't believe it's round.
Nope, it's flat because I read it on the Internet. So it's flat, and that's all there is to it. And if you don't agree with me, you're an idiot.
Now I'm finna be petty. And then now I'm finna be petty, okay? So everybody just hold their seats because I'm going to be really petty right now. Cognitive dissonance is that you lose an election on May 22nd and you still call yourself a woman.
I'm saying out of this one.
Look. And every 3 days or so, you post the number of votes you got, they're still mathematically and in their fault is less than the person that is now the nominee. That's called
close only counts in horseshoes. Okay?
Close only counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, and nuclear war. We were close, damn it.
We were close.
No. If you didn't get 50+1, you lost. And neither one of you got 50+1, you're in a one-off.
But if you lost and you hit like 40s, if you're in the 40s and you lost, pop your collar. Especially if it's
Pop your collar. I ain't got no problem with you popping your collar. But pop your collar and bring your 40-something% to the table with that person's 50 whatever they got. And let's go after the doggone true objective, which is the GOP in November. Okay? Because the thing is, and I'm being petty again because this is cognitive dissonance. People who have cognitive dissonance, if it had to be you who had got the 50+1, you would want the other person to get behind you. Cognitive dissonance says that I'm special and the other person's not, so I'm not helping them. I'm going home with my balls, not playing anymore.
You can't come to my birthday party.
cognitive, you know, so this echo chamber, and some of these echo chambers exist but just out of pure selfishness. And while, and you know, that, there's a level, that, there's a level of narcissism.
We need to parse this out, because for anybody who is an activist or an organizer, you're sitting back looking like you're down with a bad smell. And this is why you should remain an activist or an organizer, because we are talking about electoral politics. It is a totally different animal, and it is about compromise. We cannot impart that enough to you people. This is
yes.
totally different. Totally different
yes.
from what you're told to do as an organizer. Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, I was talking to somebody today, and I was like, I got to get me a whole lot of hot sauce, ketchup, and cheese. Because I got to eat some crow. And the only way to make it go down, I got to get me some hot sauce, ketchup, or cheese. And because now I'm dealing with electoral politics, building coalitions. And, yes, when I was just Hopkins just out there, I could be petty as I wanted to. But now I have to put on a different hat. Have I sold out? No. I'm working a little differently, and it is not my path. If you don't understand it, I'm really sorry, but I really offer no apologies, because it's not for you to understand. It is for me
right.
to know.
And my thing is that, and again, I'm being petty.
Well,
because the thing is, you know, people work so hard to maintain these echo chambers. And yet they want to expand these echo chambers and don't want to do no work to expand them. Again, we're talking about electoral politics. I get so sick of folks thinking all I gotta do is go to every civic organizational meeting. I put signs beside the road and I'm gonna win. I talk to everybody I can talk to. Okay, now let me tell you something. I had, you know, and I really wish that I could go to these trainings, because I'm saying, I see about you, all these people go to these trainings. And I haven't been to a training. I haven't been to any training since last year at Netroots. But we have all these people come out of training, and then I watch you go in the field, and I watch you do the exact same thing you've always done. You don't, I've still watched people that I know that were in training with me, and I say, you remember we was in this training, we did. And they go,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, for instance, I was on a race, and I had a person, instead of phone banking, they wanted to send text messages, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody's talking about, oh, text messages are so unprofessional, this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, you can do text messages. Text messages are a great way to contact the voters. We learned that in Netroots last year. And guess what? If you look at your for
those
of us on the
voter, don't send me those texts. It depends
no,
on
if you
the
know,
voter, and it depends
you
on.
You got to know your voter. You got to know your voter. Because,
right.
see, you can't
you
send text to old people. You can't send text to older people. That is not going to work.
Mm-mm.
But you can send them to the demographic, it will work. But the thing is, if you even look at vote building, there is an option there to send SMSs off of the list that you generate. And when it was like, wow, you can do that. You got text messages are now part of the toolbox. We learned this last year, people. Okay, so why are you still doing X, Y, and Z? Into a demographic that you find it very hard to contact this demographic. They don't pick up their phone. So calling them, they're going to ignore you. Some of them don't even have their voice boxes set up. So you can't leave them a voice message. But they see every text that comes across their phone. Their phone goes, ding, ding. Keep it
yeah.
Okay, they will scroll and review every text message they got. This younger demographic does not miss a text message. Okay? again, we get training and we don't go out and execute the training. And even some of the stuff that we've been taught have been staples of the political game for at least the last 15 years, which is knock on doors, knock on doors, knock on doors, and folks still don't want a damn knock on doors. But this is why when you go out, now this is a freebie, folks, this is a freebie. I usually don't give this back to my clients, but this is a freebie. First one, this is why you said you can't pay me, because I give out the good stuff on Down South and Dayton.
You sure do, because you know what, Fred, tell them again, because I'm just sitting here. But I would like to add in, for everybody who has not hired us, then you listen to the show and then tell them, oh, y'all do this, that, and that. Well, maybe you should hire us.
Because guess what? What you don't get, you only getting little snippets. Because if you think this iceberg, if you thought the tip of the iceberg was, wow, that was great. Check out the whole damn iceberg. That thing is big up over that wall. It's huge. Anyway, but this is the thing. When you go to a meeting, okay, and you're talking to a group, now, I know everybody picks, got their little people get with the signing list. Ooh, put your name on our list. Give us your name, your phone number, your email address. What the hell are you doing with that list afterwards?
Right, because we screen. What is the first thing you always hear? We got to build the list.
What are you using that list for?
If you're not using that list as a part of your field planning, your data, it's a waste. A list is like money. But once again, let me be petty for a moment. I'm tired of saying this and watching people go out, hire other people, and then back channel me. Well, you know, we got this going on. Can you come help us? Nope, not no more.
No.
I can't do it.
You got the money?
I'm petty Lavelle.
You got the money?
Hey, look, let me explain something, folks. If you come to us correct, because I'm going to tell you now, there's a lot of y'all that's going out here hiring consultants, this, that, and the other, and they taking y'all for a ride. They done took you for a ride. That's why you ain't got
no money. No, you got. And
that's why you ain't got no money this quarter. And so then come around and hire with me, and so then when you do get a chance to come back around and then offer me something, you really can't offer me what I want. Because for me to fix the F up that your prize did, it's going to require me to spend a lot of time with you. Time is money. I have to really, really, really like you to give you a discount on my time, but it's going to cost you. Okay, it's going to cost you. And this is why. It ain't because I'm money hungry, I'm greedy. It's just that for me to do stuff, it costs gas, I got to eat. In some cases, I might have to travel to you and lay my head down somewhere and sleep. So that's the thing. People want their own, can you come do something for me? Can you come help me out? Tell me how I'm going to be able to live once I do that. Because if I take, let's say, 3-4 weeks, let's say you need me 3-4 weeks. Well, I got to pay rent, this, that, and other. And if I ain't getting no money coming in, then when I come back, I'm going to be homeless. That's why people spend pay me. It ain't because we better hungry some bitches. It's because it's going to take time to do what needs to be done. Now, if I can do whatever I can do for you for remote, from a remote position, or come in and out, it might limit the cost. But you still, people are paying people top-notch dollars, and folks are not even showing up to even be in the same room with you ever. Ever, never. I mean, and that in itself is another part of that sub-partisan echo chamber. Because I'm trying to understand the organization of some political campaigns. I'm really trying to understand the organization. And a lot of you that lost It wasn't because you were a bad candidate. It's because you had bad organization. You had people who were telling you things to do, but you had no ability to execute. Even you didn't raise a
Wait. Hold on. As a candidate, you are the master of that ship. Now, if you are sitting up there allowing other folks, at the end of the day, you set the tone. If you're running for office and you don't have a message, you don't have a vision, you don't have any, you just jump up, I'm going to run. And then you let other people tell you how to run your race. Then maybe this wasn't your time. And maybe
you need to
think about things for your next one.
You ever tell me they got to have a vision? Now, what I'm going to tell you, we're not telling you that you got to run everything. But what I'm saying is that the people who are running stuff for you need to know who you are. I was talking to someone earlier today, and I said it needs to sound like you. People will know that it does not sound like you if it does, if we don't interweave the message into who you really are. I'm not being petty and not being hateful. This is just a political observation.
Yeah.
This is a political observation. And this political observation I'm pointing to Stacey Evans. All right? Stacey Evans was not a bad candidate. But what constantly got her messed up with the majority of folks was the message did not fit her. There was a whole lot of faux pas made, mistakes, some ill messaging, because it didn't fit her. It's what we call pandering. You don't want to seem like you're pandering. You want to genuinely and authentically connect. Now, do I believe that this was done in a malicious way? I just think people just didn't understand their candidate. Candidate didn't.
Oh, Evans, after, you know, when her commercial came out, her first ad, we all sat and said, that's a damn good ad. And then we realized
the fucking chain.
We all sat back and said, that's a damn good ad, right?
Whoever did that first ad should have stayed on that damn tangent.
Right. And then as the race went on, it became apparent that she was tone deaf. And it was very puzzling because you had just about the whole Georgia Black caucus in your team. Nobody black could say, no, we may not want to do that. So that led to something that was deeper in that campaign that we would have missed had we just went for that commercial. So I think it was good. It was necessary. It was cleansing because there was a lot of things going on behind that race. But as far as I'm concerned, May 22nd has passed. We have a new date to look forward to. And
so,
let's see what we have to do. If you are a progressive, but if you're a progressive, be prepared. You do not have a dog in this hunt. You are going to have to go to the polls looking like you are downwind of a bad smell. If you are a progressive, you should be used to that. And if you don't like it, get your own candidate and run them.
This is definitely, we got a few folks that won't make progressives hold their noses up. But however, there are going to be people on the ticket who are going to make you hold your nose. And also understand that, you know, everybody on the left is not a progressive. So understand it. As I was told by someone else today, you need to understand, if you're running in a district, you're not running statewide, but you're running in a district, you need to understand your district. Because some people, if you go out there pushing a hyper-Bernie progressive message, it's not going to fit for your district. Your district might not be hyper-progressive. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't do progressive things. It just means you have to message it differently. Because, most policies can be pushed across anybody. It's all according to how you message them. It's what
you
say to them.
Right. I mean, criminal justice reform and racial justice. Okay, a lot of us in the black community, that's what we're looking for to hear. Now, you pick a district up in North Georgia where there are hardly any black people at all. You can't go out there with your Black Lives Matter button because they're going to be like, that's why we moved up here. We moved up here to get away from the black people. But here's the secret. The police are shooting white people, too.
Yes. They take white people's judge and charge them fines and stuff just like they do black people.
Right.
Because guess what?
So
there's always a underclass that has to be dealt with. It's always dealt. You got that.
Okay.
You're poor and white.
I did want to change up on you because, the election, like I said, May 22nd, it is passed. If you ain't over it yet, you need to get over it. But I wanted to mention something that I was really excited about. I got a call earlier today from one of our brothers in broadcasting. Loveless Johnson III, Loveless and Beth, they're also on Sundays as well. But I got a call from Loveless Johnson with we've all seen the white people calling on black folks from anything from playing on the golf course, barbecues, the one that got me was the barbecue smoke. You got to keep your smoke in the yard. But anybody who's been on Next Door, you've seen those BOLO posts, be on the lookout for the suspicious black people in your neighborhood. So I got a call, and he was like, look, got an idea. A couple of us were talking, and we figured, why not do the same thing that we do for alarm companies? Anybody who has ADT or some sort of alarm, you know that if you get too many frivolous calls, you get a fine. Now, for those who get these frivolous calls, and there was one video that surfaced this week, is somewhere floating on the internet, where there was a guy in real estate who was out looking at a home. He was doing a home inspection, and it was a really rude white woman who called the cops, and the cops was like, yeah, you know what, it was kind of refreshing to see. Yes, it is an anomaly, but, they were like, look, this is a frivolous call, and you call again, we're going to lock you up. This is what we need to do, because I am tired of seeing all of these posts, on Next Door and some of the other posts, neighborhood kind of social networks where people are sitting up there, you calling cops, they're your neighbors. And this is real. You are going to get somebody messed up, and you don't care. I need for people, especially, I live in a gentrifying neighborhood. You need to understand, you are moving into a community. You're not taking it over. This was a community before you moved in, and there were people who live here. But if we have to get a message through by hitting you in your pocket, so be it. So we're talking about coming up with some ordinances that we can pass through the city, start locally, because that's where you have more impact. And so if you're interested, hit me up on Facebook or hit me up on the Down South and Dirty site. I'm going to be calling some of my people. I'm going to start with my own representatives. and see how they feel about it, but that's just something where I have the capacity to do something with, and I like it, and I'm tired of it, so that you may see some things, and if you're really down with this, hit me up, because I'm really tired of, okay, we see the problems, and we can tell you who shot John, and why, and whatever, and we can give you links and dissertations and everything. But when you come to, like, how do you fix it? We sit there and go, well, they did it. That's no longer enough. We got people dying. So if this is something that can make people stop and think before they pick up the phone, before you pick up the phone, try going out there and actually engaging them, because chances are they're your damn neighbor. And it's not as insidious as you think. Black people do things like work, walk in the neighborhood, walk their dogs. We inspect houses. We're no different from anyone else. And if you think there's somebody, if you really believe that black people do that, you're trash. There's no other way to put it.
We got another caller here. Let me go ahead and see what this caller. Hello, caller.
Hello.
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 Hi, I'm calling from Savannah, Georgia today. How y'all doing?
We're wonderful. Fine. How are you? What's your name?
My name is Gwen.
Hey, Gwen.
Hey, Gwen.
Hi. Is Scout there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes.
I think I know you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Long time no hear. I just called because a comment that was just made about going into the white neighborhoods with the Black Lives Matter T-shirt, it made me laugh, but it also made me think. Someone said that all politics is local. So
right.
I'm thinking that whenever we go into any community, we need to know what's important to the people there. For example, Robert Greenwald did a short film about the money bail issue, you know, people who end up owing all this money and going back and forth to jail, and everyone in that film was white. Everyone. And they were women. And they were the victims of this thing. So that's very real. When you say, as a black person going to talk to white people, there many, many more of them are on welfare than are black people. Many more of them are victims of incarceration, right? So that's what you talk to them about. No, you don't talk to them about black lives. No, but you might get to a point where you could, but you got to start with what's in it for me.
Exactly. You have to frame it in the language that we speak to. I mean, we often talk about going to talk to different groups. We talk about talking to Republicans. That one is that's the conversation that I find hilarious, because if you're going to talk to Republicans, you can't go up there talking about, you know, empathy and all that. They don't care. They already told you they don't care. They care about money. Either how you're going to give them some, or show them who's taking it from them, or how they can get some.
Right.
That's it.
And we thank you for calling in, Gwen. I got another call.
Okay.
But thank you for calling, Gwen.
You're welcome. I appreciate you guys.
We appreciate you, too.
Okay, caller. We got another call up. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. How y'all doing?
We doing well. Doing well.
Wonderful.
We?
Oh, I'm in Atlanta.
Okay.
All right, we got the A. What neighborhood are you from?
Oh, I'm not from here, but I'm just here. So, I mean, I can't really claim it like that. But some of the east side, some of the west side, a little bit around there.
Okay.
But,
okay, right.
Yeah, but I just wanted to make a quick challenge to y'all on this, because the one area I disagree with y'all on is this. I think there are some things in politics that and life that are so divisive that there is really no reconciliation. And honestly, I think there shouldn't be, because sometimes those compromises become, you know, the enemy of the good. So I'll put it this way. Let's say if I was a Trump supporter, how would you guys persuade me?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly what I feel. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Everything, but you at least got to come to the table to find out there is not a point of compromise. And
right. There is no point of compromise with a Trump voter.
Here I was thinking I was going to call in and disagree, and no, we on the same program. I'm thinking in the same way.
Think about it. Because early on in the 45 administration, there were people of color who attempted to go and say, hey, we got to give them a chance, because we've always given who's ever in the Oval Office a chance. And we found out very quickly, he wasn't nobody we could do business with. There was no art of the deal with him. He was just looking for a way to manipulate him.
That's the political naivete I was talking about, though. The idea that you would think this person who actually ran on dog whistling and talking about the others as the problem to rally up those people, if these people thought, for one, the con man is not going to help them or do anything for them, and if you think he's going to reach across the aisle in a way that would hurt himself, as he showed today, where he disinvited the football team from the visit to the White House, like, no, he's going to play this game all the way through. So, no, I agree with you guys then. My bad on that. So I guess I'm just going to hang back and listen.
No. actually, that was a good point to bring out.
Yeah, but keep listening, because I'm sure there's going to be something we can argue about. we will get there. So,
especially when me and Scout argue.
I argue with y'all today, but we appreciate you calling. Keep listening.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling in.
Oh, we'll do.
And thanks so much. And I just wanted to add to that. Look, we got to stop being Oprah. You get a cause. There's some folks we got to say, nah. Not everybody. We cannot bring everybody together. We got to squat up and work with who we can. And there's some people who you just have to look at and go, this just ain't for you.
What's my third? I can't fuck with you.
This is true. Yeah. I mean, we need to learn that. But
this is not FCC regulated, so there's no beeping, there's no lagging. If it comes out my mouth, you will hear it. Yeah, I can't fuck with you.
Yeah, we try not to cuss on Sunday because we feel like God's going to come down and smack us, but we do it anyway. I was the first to slip. But, you know, sometimes it's really profound. Really profound things demand a profound.
But since we're talking about that, you know, by me being in Virginia this weekend, and you know I'm not going to go anywhere and not engage people politically.
Oh, Lord.
And so, you know, my former in-laws live in a very, very nice, very, very nice country club neighborhood. Okay? Golf course is all the 9 yards. Okay, so there was a very diverse crowd that had means. And once it was found out that I dealt in politics, we started having conversations. And I was pleasantly surprised, because we all know Virginia is one of those states that swing back and forth.
Mm.
It's a swing state. And it is a true thing, because I talk to people who, they hop across the lines on a regular basis based on what they feel is the best candidate. And it was just amazing to me that I talked to folks who voted for Obama, who didn't vote for him the first time, voted for him the second time, and then voted for Trump. Then we had folks who voted for, I talked to some people who voted for the Republicans the first two times and then voted for Hillary this last time. And it was like, that don't happen in Georgia.
Well, no,
Then you got people who voted for Trump who are saying, oh, it won't happen again. That's not going to happen again. Whereas, you know, we done got, and they was talking about how they watch our politics because, oh, best believe folks was watching Georgia because they knew about Abrams, Evans, they understood it, they knew it. They seen our crazy ass commercials for the GOP. They was like, so y'all were smarter than we thought you were because you did not. The guy with the bus didn't get anywhere close, but y'all got the guy with the pickup truck and the shotgun in the runoff. What made them two any different? And I was like, so y'all watching that hard? They was like, yeah. What is that? They called their names, so people are paying attention to our stuff in other states. So we have to be, you know, we got to be for real. And most people are very impressed with our Democratic nominee. They feel like we actually might be able to do something with that. So I told all of them since you're so impressed with our nominee, you can't vote in Georgia, but you can go to StacyAbrams.com and hit the donate button, and you can help fund the retaking of Georgia. That's why I put it to them, you know. But, when you travel around, when you're traveling and you can engage, and like I said, I'm going to always engage people politically. I can seem to do that without getting into fights. And,
you would engage Charles Manson.
Yeah, I would, because I want to know how you think. But I was talking, you know, we was on the train talking to folks, this, that, and the other. And it's really interesting how around people around this country, there's a little bit more hope than we normally see. Because we live in such, like I said, we live in these little, and that's one of the reasons I was sitting there thinking about the echo chambers, because we live in these little bubbles of whatever our existence is, and we sometimes don't realize there's a whole other world going on outside. And it was just interesting question to figure out that everybody does not operate with inside of their state with the same political mind. I even stopped by when I first got to Lynchburg. The train station is right up under the Board of Elections and Registrations for Campbell County, Virginia. So I stopped in there, and I was like, "Well, sir, can you ask? I'm from Georgia. I'm just interested. You know, I'm a former member of my Board of Elections in my home county. I'm just interested in how y'all do stuff." And they were actually in the process of going through their early voting now, for a primary election. And they explained to me how we have a similar process, but they actually, the voting actually takes place on the absentee ballot, which I found to be very interesting. Basically, vote by mail, and and we got about 20 minutes left in the show.
Well, one of the things, when you were talking, and remember, I never did send you that link, I'm sorry. When we're talking about counties that, you know, went Trump after, they're called civic counties, and there are 206 counties in the United States that voted for Trump in 16 after voting for Barack Obama twice. There are five of those counties in Georgia, and if you live in any of those counties, you should so call in and talk to us. Those counties
Do you have a list of them? Okay, go ahead, tell us.
And they're all middle and south Georgia. Okay? You got Baker County, Dooley County, Peach County, Quitman County, and Twiggs. The one that voted the highest for Trump was Quitman County. His margin of victory was 10.92. And you can find this information at ballotpedia.org. Type in Pivot Counties in Georgia, or just type in Pivot Counties and you'll find the link. It's kind of interesting. People are kind of like, how can we talk to these Trump voters? And I'm like, that, you know, the same with the answer with the gentleman that called in from Atlanta. You can't. These are not the droids we're looking for.
So Randy Goss, if you listening.
Yes,
if you listening, Randy. I need you because you the numbers. You are the numbers guy in Peach County, Georgia. If you are listening or you end up listening to this show, maybe we need to have you come on and explain the pivot county since you are one of those pivot counties. Maybe you need to come on to the show and talk to us about that. But
you know,
speaking of, yeah, left in the show.
You can't drag Randy. I will come for you. That's my bud.
I'm not gonna drag Randy. I don't know. I under no circumstances will I drag Randy about anything. Randy's my boy. That's my homie.
Okay.
That's my homie.
I
can't fool with Randy like this. Randy's one of my folk. I can't fool with him. But the thing is, we're getting ready to start having conversations with candidates. Cause I've had a couple of statewide then ask for to come onto the show. Now I've officially had conversations with Oza Thorny, and I've talked to Janice Laws. I've talked to somebody from Sid's campaign, Sid Chapman's campaign, and I kind of want to talk to Sid and Oprah first. They got it. There's a runoff coming. So, you know, y'all, I want to come up with a list of
the runoff list in Georgia 6 and Georgia 7, Congressional District 6 and 7, they've got runoffs.
Right.
So if you're listening and you are running in 6 or 7, we'd like to talk to you. We'll be nice. Whatever you heard about us has been severely underreported. And there's a couple other races. There's more Republican runoffs than Democratic ones.
But I know.
But if you're a Republican and you want to come on, I don't care. I'll talk to you. Come on, let's talk about it. Because we need to know.
I also had a conversation with a former candidate about coming onto the show and just talking to us a little bit. You know, it will be really interesting and fun to have Josh McCool on the show.
Yes. Yes, it would.
And we've had some conversation.
I'll take my meds and everything.
I mean, so be prepared because in the show coming up, you know, we planning on having some conversations with some candidates because folks are asking. Fred Swan, yes, you are coming on down South today because I know you're listening. We got a candidate sitting here holding right now. She's still holding and listening to the show. I don't know why she just don't come on here and talk about her candidacy right quick. Or do you just want to wait till later? I'm finna go ahead and watch this. So,
why are you going to do all like this?
So how do you want to do that, Fanika?
Fanika, ignore him.
She is. She's doing a really good job there, too.
We'll
have her come on.
That's why. You're just putting a woman on blast like that. Leave her alone. See, Fanika, I got you, girl. I got you. But anything else you want to talk about? We've got so much crazy to choose from.
Yes, but I think what we need to do, just because I'm going to go ahead and get ready to call it, even though we got 20 minutes, you know, we ain't going to waste time just filling up out. But what we do need to have a conversation about, and this is one of the things, I want y'all, the listeners, tell me what y'all want us to talk about. What do you really want to hear? We'll talk about it. If there's a message out there that you something we've missing, tell us about it. But we are going to be doing the show before July 1st about the laws. There's some new laws that are coming in place. The laws. You know, there's new legislation that will be going into, particularly like the texting law. I mean, we ain't got enough time really to go through that right now because I find that it has been somewhat confusing to folks. We might take a little time on Sunday to go through that.
But, how many times has the Georgia legislature written laws that they have to come back the next session and the next session after that to fix it? This is a game that can't shoot straight.
Right.
Yeah, I said it. Y'all can't write no laws. It shows. So, you know. But, yeah, there are some laws coming down the pipe that people do need to be aware about because people don't understand when the session, when we have our session from January to March or April, depending on how the calendar works out, you really need to pay attention. And because, you know, there's like at least 1,000 bills that pass, not all, I mean, that come through there, not all of them pass. But, you know, we get a lot of stuff that flies under the radar. Then we start hollering in July, we didn't know this passed. Well, you should have. We missed the whole session. We missed we have a short window to veto it.
So let's make sure we get that done as a service to the good people of Georgia. We're gonna go through and find out all the good stuff that you really need to know about that's gonna go on go in effect on July 1st. And so we're gonna try to get you good and early. And then we're gonna start talking about some of this stuff we got coming up in November. But then we got some good shows getting ready to do.
Yeah, I had a long day, which is why I like Sunday shows.
Yeah. Now it was interesting. We did a Monday night show. We actually started. We got callers in, so that's interesting. You know.
We may want to go to the weeknight, but I mean, we'll see and we'll let you decide, internet world. You know, would you rather hear us
on a Sunday or would you rather hear us during the week? You know, let us know because that was interesting because I like the interaction. I like to talk. I like to hear the listeners come in and interact with the show. It makes the show a lot more fun. But with that being said, we're going to go ahead and call tonight because we do got to go to work. I got to go to work in the morning. I've been on vacation the last couple of days. So, with that being said, this is Downsizing Data. We appreciate you joining us on the porch on a Monday night. And we're out. Peace.
Peace.